All right, greetings, bitches and bitchettes. First thing I'm going to do is adjust the microphone because I have it too high. It's too high. Get it? That's like a marijuana joke. It's like, hey, man, dude, I'm from Colorado, man. Dude, I like to smoke dope, man. Dude, like smoking dope is my whole identity, man. I have nothing going on. I'm a libertarian. I like to totally just like smoke dope and have sex with small children. Like, dude, like I'm so libertarian, man. Dude. All right. So this morning I was doing work and listening to some podcasts that came to the RSS feed, and I saw this and it was short and the title looked interesting. So I gave it a listen. And this is, I think this guy's name is Patrick. I think that's his real name. And I got that out of the comments on the YouTube video, which the YouTube video will be linked in the show notes because I'm not a member of the Manosphere and I don't have an OnlyMans account to put in the show notes. And so thus I put my source material in the show notes. And I'm looking through the comments on his YouTube video here, and somebody called him Patrick. I think you're forgetting two things, Patrick. Number one, blah, blah, blah. So I'm assuming this guy's name is Patrick, so I'm going to call him Patrick. Patrick, if your name isn't Patrick, then I apologize. I'm not trying to insult you. Before I knew your name was Patrick, I was just going to call you Bad Hair Guy because you really need to do something with that hair and especially that facial hair. And my insult, yeah, I'm talking about the guy's looks. A great one. You can't do that. I can do it. I just did do it. I just did it. So don't tell me I can't do something I just did. Now, Patrick here, this is the guy that you hear his voice. You may remember he did, along with some other cat, that whole podcast talking about abortion and about how the libertarian guy, who was it Tom? Was it? I can't remember. Murray Ross? Anyway, some libertarian guy was like, oh yeah, abortion is cool and you have no obligation to feed your own child and you can let it starve to death. And they ripped this guy to shreds. And, you know, I did that podcast and I talked about it and I agreed with them and a lot of good stuff. So I'm not coming from a place of player hating on this guy or nothing like that, but I listened to this and I'm like, holy shit, man. You're very, very wrong. And God damn it, hang on, I gotta go turn off the heater. I don't know how much my microphone actually picks up the heater when it's running, but I don't care. I'm just going to turn it off. Plus, I'm getting hot. I am hot. Ask any of the girls, they'll tell you. All right, so anyhow, Patrick here, he does this video about, the title is Stop Making This Bad Medical Conspiracy Argument. So the first thing he's doing is that he's labeling people who disagree with him as conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy argument. Ooh, conspiracy. Okay. Just like me making fun of your facial hair is not an argument, you labeling something a conspiracy is not an argument. So anyhow, let's listen to this video. The video itself is 7 minutes long. And after we add in my tangenting and ranting and rambling and counterpoints, this will probably end up being, you know, 12 or 34 hours long or some god-awful shit like that. All right, let's go.
Greetings, pharmaceuticals. I want to talk briefly about a set of bad reasoning that I see frequently, more frequently than I should see it, amongst freedom-minded people. This type of argument applies to many things, but I see it most frequently in relation to medicine, pharmaceuticals, big pharma, stuff like that. And I just want to get this out there and explain why it's bad reasoning, so maybe we can start seeing it less and maybe people can come up with better arguments.
Now, he's going to explain why this is bad reasoning. Okay, so let's see if he does that. Let's see if he is successful in explaining why this, we still don't know what this is, he hasn't defined this. He's going to explain why this is bad reasoning.
I'm going to come up with an example off the top of my head. Obviously, YouTube, this is not medical advice.
Now, notice he has to put a disclaimer in here for YouTube that he's not giving medical advice. To get ahead of myself, how are you going to get new information about new drugs and treatments and health and all this other stuff out to the public if on YouTube, which is where a large number of people get their information, when you're doing a video in which you're having a philosophical discussion about a concept, you have to put a disclaimer in there that you're not giving medical advice so that YouTube doesn't take your video down for giving medical advice that has not been approved of by the government. So, just starting off, where is the conspiracy part? When people say, well, you know, if you suggest a treatment for a disease that the pharmaceutical corporations do not approve of and can't make money off of, and you suggest this on YouTube, YouTube will remove your video. Where's the conspiracy part?
An example, but let's take something like vitamin C cures cancer. Well, okay. What do you mean vitamin C cures cancer? If it cured cancer or even improved the outcomes a little bit.
Okay, if it even improved the outcomes a little bit, hold on to that.
Of the prognoses of people diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
Doctors would certainly use it. Why wouldn't they?
Okay, here's why they wouldn't. I am going to destroy his arguments, which are theoretical, and I'm all for theoretical philosophizing. Okay, as Shoe on Head would say, trigger warning, facts. Okay, there are facts. There is empirical research that shows fasting, not eating food, for 48 hours before receiving chemotherapy. Number one, protects the healthy cells from the effects of the chemotherapy. Number two, allows the healthy cells which are damaged by the chemotherapy to repair themselves faster. Number three, because of those effects, means that in the chemotherapy session, you could receive a larger dose of the chemotherapy and thus reduce the number of chemotherapy treatments and the amount of time you have to spend in chemotherapy before the cancer is gone or goes into remission or whatever the outcome may be. These are facts. Right? The book that I'm reading has the links to these studies. These are not opinions. These are facts. So why is it that anyone you know who's receiving chemotherapy has not been told about this by their doctor and has not been told to fast for 48 hours before they come in for chemotherapy? Number one, because the pharmaceutical corporations don't make any money. Number two, because if you do fewer chemotherapy treatments, then you make less money. But also because number three, as one of the doctors in the book said, we don't tell patients to fast because it's too difficult for them. People just can't do it. Because humans, 99% of humans, or I'm speaking for, you know, humans in North America, mostly white humans in North America, probably. I don't know. It's everybody gets chemotherapy. They would literally Hitler, guys. They would literally Hitler rather die sooner than go for 2 days without eating food. So when he says, well, there's theoretically a thing. No, there's not theoretically a thing, Patrick. There is a thing that will make chemotherapy less harmful to the person receiving it and will reduce the number of chemotherapy treatments needed. It exists. It's a real thing. And the percent success rate shown in the studies that have been conducted, which were an uphill battle because, gee, oncologists were opposed to doing the studies. Okay? The percentage of success is way beyond 5%. I don't remember offhand. I don't have the book to write. It's like 40%, 60%. It was huge. So your theoretical example actually exists in the real world. And how many oncologists would you have to call or go to and talk to them before one of them says to you, oh, by the way, before your treatments, you should not eat for 48 hours if you would like to reduce the number of treatments you receive and increase your health and get through this faster. Point number two, same thing, because we're going to go with cancer. Also shown in the studies, people who fast before their treatment or fast while getting the treatments have better appetites and less gastrointestinal problems, right? I talked about all this in a recent podcast. But why? How will the medical marijuana corporations make any money? Because that's their prime target. For those of you in other countries, I didn't mention this at the time, so you may not know this. Let me just tell you this. Here in the United States, the whole thing that got marijuana legalization started was medical marijuana. And the poster child for medical marijuana was, and still is, cancer patients, because they get their chemotherapy, it fucks up their appetite, they're not hungry. If they are hungry, they eat, they're nauseous, they puke it up or whatever. And it was, well, when they smoke marijuana, they get the munchies and they eat food and then the food stays down, which may, I'm not saying that's not true, but that's how marijuana got legalized in the United States. That was the beginning of the slippery slope, which isn't a real thing. As we all know, there is no slippery slope fallacy. Everything that happens, happens incrementally. That's how the universe works. But that was the beginning. So now, if you could get the same effect you can get from marijuana by just not eating food for a day, which nobody makes money off of that, although we'll get to that in a minute, then why would anyone tell you about this? So we have a real life example of what he's talking about, and it completely disproves his point.
Which the response is, they don't want you to know that vitamin C cures cancer because vitamin C is ubiquitous.
Right. They don't want you to know that not eating food will speed up your chemotherapy and make your chemotherapy more effective. And it's not necessarily because they're evil, although that's part of it. There's a whole lot of reasons. Number one, a lot of the doctors don't know this. Because believe it or not, again, I know I've covered this before. I'm going to cover this again. People think that doctors in real life are like doctors on television. Doctors on television, they're always doing research. Oh, and they stay up to date on the latest journals, and they're communicating with other doctors and researchers, and they're exchanging ideas and trying new treatments, and they're up until 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out what's wrong with that one patient, and they're going to strive and strive until they cure this one person. Guys, that's television. Doctors in real life, they go to work and they churn through the patients as fast as they can because they're completely booked. Like every minute of their day has somebody in it. And then they got to deal with paperwork. And you say, well, great, when they hire people to do the paperwork. Yes, they do. Now they've got to deal with employees who have personal problems and accuse each other of sexual harassment and want vacation time. And they've got to deal with regulations. And I've said before, they have to avoid getting sued for malpractice. So once again, why does your doctor not tell you about fasting? Well, because if your doctor's not told you about fasting for 7 years, and then your doctor comes in and says, hey, you know what? I just figured out that there's a 80% chance your type 2 diet, this is another real thing, okay? So Patrick, this is another real thing. 80% of people in the study with type 2 diabetes engaged in fasting, their type 2 diabetes went away completely. So if your doctor comes in and says to the person with type 2 diabetes, hey, you know I've been giving you this expensive medication for the last 12 years, but if you just like every other day don't eat food, your diabetes stands an 80% chance of going away. And then the person does it and the diabetes goes away. Well, now your doctor's been lying to you for 12 years or whatever number I said, and that person now sues the fuck out of you. Okay, so then your doctor goes home. Your doctor doesn't go home and stay awake until 3 o'clock in the morning trying to cure your diabetes. Your doctor goes home. He plays with his dog. He goes out with his girlfriend. He goes to the opera. He goes out to his wife and his kids. He drives around in his car. He plays golf with his friends. Their lives don't fucking revolve around keeping up on every new concept in medical treatment. Their information comes from the pharmaceutical corporations and from YouTube. When I say that, that's not a fucking joke. You think doctors don't get shit from YouTube? And YouTube censors anything that's not approved by the government. And the pharmaceutical corporations, yes. When I worked at the hospital, as I've said before, outside the doctor's lounge was a designated area in the hallway, a little cutout there, where the pharmaceutical reps set up their tables and handed out their propaganda. So you're a doctor. It's the end of your shift. You're fucking tired. You've been dealing with bullshit all day. You're walking to the doctor's lounge. You're going to grab your personal shit. You're going to head out. There's a pharmaceutical rep. They hand you a piece of paper, and it says, hey, this new drug that's, what was the price? I forgot. $749 a month, right? Previous podcast. This new really expensive drug will fix diabetes. Okay. Why are you going to go home and research fasting when you've just been given the information you need to fix diabetes in your patients? Okay, this is a completely unrealistic understanding of how humans work. I think I'm done with this for right now.
It's super cheap and it's everywhere and they would.
Right, fasting. Oh, by the way, he's super cheap. That's very effeminate. Stop using the word super. Fasting, it's cheap and it's everywhere. Why, you would think somebody would mention that.
Didn't make as much money with it.
They won't.
And so, they're...
But again, to reemphasize, it's not just the money. See, so maybe this is the conspiracy part as well. They won't make as much money. The fact that they won't make as much money is a factor. But again, there's other factors. They don't know. They have to avoid getting sued. Maybe your doctor just doesn't like you. Maybe you're an asshole. Your doctor's not that concerned with curing your cancer. Maybe your doctor doesn't want to get his medical license taken away, right? If you come out and you say something, well, I think fasting will help my patients. Whoever regulates doctors shows up, well, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. We're taking away your license to practice. You know, your number one concern as an individual doctor has to be your own self-preservation, right? This is exactly the same as with the police. As much as I ridicule the police for not going in the building when the school shooter is in there shooting these little kids, right? I've talked about this before too. Ultimately, when you look at it from the perspective of the police officer, I'm a police officer, okay? There's this guy in this building with a gun. I don't know how much gun he's got. I don't know how much bullet he's got. I don't know how many people there are in there for sure. And none of those kids in that building, you know, those are my kids. I got a wife and kids at home. Why am I going to run in this building and possibly die to save someone else's children and leave my children fatherless and my wife without a husband? Man, fuck you. You want to save your fucking kids from a school shooter? Number one, don't send them to public school. Number two, get your ass in here and save them yourself. I'm not going to die for your fucking kids.
Greedy. You know, the typical, like, lefty lines that you get from commies, right?
Because making a profit isn't really a thing. And again, see, he is narrowing this down to, well, it's only because they're not going to make enough money. As I said, there's a whole lot of reasons. And all of these different reasons come together. Let's say you've got a hole in the ground. And the hole needs to be filled up with dirt. And there's a pile of dirt next to the hole, and standing around the pile of dirt in the hole, you've got 10 people, 10 men, because if there's women, nothing would get done. You've got 10 men, and each man has a shovel. And each one man says, well, I'm not going to fill in the hole because then I won't make as much money. And the other nine men all have different reasons for not filling in the hole. Like, one of them's like, well, I got to go home early. And one is like, I don't want to get sweaty because I'm going out with my girlfriend. And the other guy is just like, I don't like to work. And I don't know, one of them is a Jew or something. But they all, so you've got 10 different reasons for why the hole hasn't gotten filled in. The only one of the reasons out of those 10 is because of money, but the end result is the hole still didn't get filled in. I don't know if that made sense or not, but I'm just pointing out that he's trying to say the only, or my interpretation of what he's saying is that the only reason you're not being told about these things is because of the profit margin. No, that's not the only reason. To say it again, I mean, the two most powerful forces in the universe are stupidity and that's the way we've always done it. So to use his example, let's say vitamin C, you know, 5% cancer. Okay, number one, you have to find out about it. Number two, you have to be willing to try it, which means you have to be willing to get sued. And you have to find patients willing to do it. And then you have to not get censored by somebody. And then you have to overcome the fucking way you've always done things. And then if you're part, you know, if you are a doctor and you own your own clinic, okay, you could start like Dr. Ken Berry, right? He can start doing shit because he owns his, but if you're like a doctor at a hospital, you can't just start making shit up. If you're a doctor at a hospital and your treatment deviates from the approved treatment plans of the hospital, you're gone. Well, you might get a stern talking to you first. But again, this Patrick doesn't seem to understand how the real world works. If you're a doctor at a hospital, which I'm not an expert on this. I'm not an expert on anything except not being an expert. Are there like just oncology clinics? It seems to me that most oncology takes place in a hospital. I could be wrong about that. But I will say this, any oncology that takes place in a hospital, the doctor may think he's making decisions, but he's making decisions within the guidelines set by the hospital. So before you could tell your patients to fast for 48 hours or to take vitamin C, as in Patrick's example, you got to get permission to do that from the powers that be at the hospital. And if you think the individual doctor who owns a clinic is paranoid about getting sued, try being the powers that be at a hospital. They've got to worry about, is the hospital going to get sued? Is an individual doctor going to get sued? And repercussions come on the hospital. Do we have enough black one-armed tranny employees? Or are we going to meet our affirmative action quota? You know, they have all this shit and you're going to go in there and be like, hey, you know, I really think we should change our policies and procedures on cancer treatment to have people take vitamin C. Yeah, good luck with that. You are fighting a fucking battle that almost no human can win.
Coming from capitalists, when you get into this stuff, they'll say, well, they want to make more money, they're greedy, and so they're not going to prescribe you the vitamin C, which they secretly knows works.
Okay, see, and no. Doctors, to stick with a real example, not a fake one, fasting. They don't know it works because they don't have the information, because if you don't go seeking the information, no one's going to give the information to you. Let me give you another example where he say, oh, there's this thing and it's simpler and it's easier and why wouldn't everyone do it? Okay, that's kind of essentially his argument. You know, if this thing, vitamin C, did increase effectiveness and it worked and yeah, why wouldn't people do it? Let me ask you this. What if there was a system that was easy to use and allowed people to exchange value with each other? And not only could they exchange value, they could exchange value almost instantly, and the value exchange took place in a way that, at least currently, was not taxed by any tax codes, sales tax, income tax, nothing. Wouldn't people use that? Wouldn't I be able to use that to pay my electric bill? Wouldn't the electrical company, right? Look at that and go, holy shit, we can get paid for our electricity and not pay income taxes? Holy fuck, yes. And that thing does exist, and it's called Bitcoin. Can you pay your electric bill in Bitcoin? No, you can't. You know why not? Because number one, stupidity, and because number two, well, that's not the way we've always done it. And this is really going to sound like an insult, and it kind of is, but I'm also serious. I have to wonder, has Patrick ever, like, left his mom's basement? Has this guy done it? He does not seem to understand how the world fucking works. It's not this easy. If it was this easy, Bitcoin would have already replaced the dollar. At Walmart, at Safeway, I would pay my rent in Bitcoin. I'd pay for my electricity in Bitcoin. Gosh, it's just so easy to just change the way everything has been done for the last 100 years. Look, here's this better way of doing anything. Oh my God. And everyone will just agree on this easier way of doing things and it'll just happen. Right? This is a very female version of the world, understanding of the world. Like, oh, I want this thing. It should just appear. Like, there's no work involved. I don't have to overcome other people's stupidity. I don't have to overcome all of these systems that have been created by the government and the corporations and the HR department. Right, you're going to go to HR. Hey, we're going to do this new thing. No, you're not. You're not doing a fucking new thing at a hospital. You're not doing a fucking new thing at a fucking health insurance corporation. And you're sure as hell not doing a new thing at a pharmaceutical corporation. Okay, let me save that. We'll go there in a minute.
So that they can prescribe these super expensive,
right,
patented,
yes,
medications for treatment.
Right.
There's so many problems with this.
Great.
Let's just go over a few.
Okay. There's so many problems. I'm only going to name a couple of them because that's the only ones I can actually come up with.
As capitalists, you should know how the market...
Okay, the total number of capitalists, real actual capitalists on the planet Earth is probably about, what, 10,000?
...works and how to run a business and how to create a product on something.
Okay.
Especially the unfortunate situation that modern day companies are in with patents and intellectual property fascism.
Yes, the problem with modern day companies is... patents. The problem with modern day companies is not taxation, regulation, diversity hiring, the HR department. You know, no, none of the problem is patents. See, that's the problem. Patents. See, there's this libertarians, in addition to having this weird fixation on drugs and having sex with children, also have this weird fixation on intellectual property. Now, I get it. Again, this is a legitimate thing to talk about, but patents are not the source of the problem here.
Government. It's super easy.
Super.
Would be super easy
super.
For a company.
Okay. How easy? Hold on, guys. It would be super easy. He's going to explain something that is super easy. Let's find out how super easy this is.
Let's say that vitamin C actually improves the prognosis,
okay,
for surviving cancer by, mm-hmm, let's be conservative, 5%.
Okay.
If you give the patient a lot of vitamin C, mm-hmm, whatever, they have a 5% better chance of beating the cancer and surviving.
Okay.
Only 5%.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. As a capitalist, okay, who is ostensibly greedy.
Okay, whoa. As a capitalist, who's the capitalist here? The doctor doesn't set the prices. The hospital is not a sentient entity. Okay, so the hospital is run by a group of people. Now, there you might make the argument there was a time when the hospital was run by a bunch of capitalists who only wanted to make money, okay? That's nice. I wish we lived in that world. We live in 2023, the current year. The hospital today is run by a group of people half of whom are there as affirmative action hires. And most of them, their priority is not making money because they're going to get bailed out by the government if they fail. Their priority is diversity, inclusion, virtue signaling. Okay, now is he talking about the pharmaceutical corporations? Well, the pharmaceutical corporations are already making a fuck ton of money. So to say, well, if you're motivated by profit, wouldn't you do, hold on. If you're motivated by profit, would you check, and you're already doing something that's making a fuck ton of money, well, why wouldn't you stop doing the thing you're doing that's making a fuck ton of money and then retrain your employees, put out a new product, come up with new marketing for the new product, buy new marketing space to market the new product, change all of your equipment to manufacture the new. Why wouldn't you spend all of that money and take a chance on the new product? You would not do that because you're not stupid. You're already making a fuck ton of money with your existing product. Okay? If I'm manufacturing the Wuhan vax, and then I find out that vitamin C cures Wuhan, why would I, and everybody's, you know, half the population has completely bought into the Wuhan vax. Like, I can just release a new batch of Wuhan vax, and literally Hitler, 50% of the population will instantly show up to get injected with it. Why would I toss all that to the side and go through the whole process of retooling my Wuhan vax manufacturing factory to package vitamin C, and then have to convince people, because this is not the way they've been doing it, now I have to convince people that vitamin C cures Wuhan instead of the Wuhan vax. This is an awful lot of fucking work to change what you're doing. This is why I don't think this guy's done anything in his life.
What would you do with that information? Would you hide that information?
Well, yes.
And go spend billions of dollars researching more complicated stuff that you can charge a lot more for?
They don't spend billions of dollars researching complicated stuff. They have the complicated stuff already, and they get fuck tons of government grants to research it. You're not going to get a government grant to research vitamin C. You'll get a government grant to research the Wuhan vax.
Using the patent system that you could patent and keep other people from using and
yes,
have a improper monopoly on the market?
Yes, that's exactly what you would do.
Or would you take vitamin C, figure out why it actually is efficacious towards treating the cancer?
Now, again, let's do a real example. Would you take fasting, if you were a multi-billion dollar international pharmaceutical corporation like Pfizer, and you found out that fasting increases the effectiveness of chemotherapy, would you delve into figuring out why fasting? Actually, you might, because if you can create a drug that simulates it, you could actually sell that. Because as the doctors themselves say, our patients don't want to not eat food. So if you could take the fasting benefits and put that in a pill, you could charge a fucking fortune for that. Or you could just ignore it. You could just ignore the existence of the research that shows not eating food before you get your chemotherapy makes the chemotherapy more effective against the cancer and less detrimental to the healthy cells.
Find a way to purify it, refine it, improve it.
Right, you're gonna improve vitamin C. And we could use our Bitcoin argument here too. You know, the electric company doesn't take Bitcoin as payment, but that's because they're just not capitalist enough. Right? If they could find a way to refine Bitcoin and improve it, well, then they'd do that.
Modify it. Double the effectiveness. Maybe you could come up with some new kind of vitamin C that was 6% effective, or 10%, or 15%, and use all the same fascistic patents that the government used. That's how real business people think.
No, that's not. That is not even fucking close. Here's how real business people think. Am I doing enough virtue signaling on Instagram? Are my employees going to all show up for work today on time? Is one of my employees going to make a comment to another employee that will result in a sexual harassment lawsuit? Am I violating any regulations. Right? This is what actual business owners spend their time thinking about.
They don't hide information that their customers would want.
Oh my God. Yes, they do. Pfizer just spent 2 years hiding information about the fucking WuVax that people would want.
In that malicious sort of way, when they could sort of incorporate them as part of their business model, as an additional product to sell, as a sidecar for other products that they already sell, as an upcharge to make even more money than they would make otherwise.
I mean, I understand where he's going with that. I'm not sure how that applies to this. How do you upcharging for fasting? You know, it's a sidecar. If you fast, we'll give you extra treatments of chemotherapy after the cancer is gone. I mean, I get where he's coming here. I don't really see how this applies to medications and healthcare as a whole.
And the way it would roll out is like this. Like, let's just say that they're all actually evil and they, for some reason, think vitamin C would help people.
Once again, this is he's making a straw man argument. No, they're not all evil. I've already outlined this. It's stupidity. It's they don't know. It's they have to be afraid of lawsuits. It's regulations control what you're allowed to say. It's censorship on the internet controls what you're allowed to say. It's the amount of time you have in the day controls what you learn, what you even know about. And yes, some of them are also evil. This is the 10 men standing around the hole in the ground with shovels, but the hole never gets filled in.
People, but they want to make more money. And so they don't prescribe it. All it takes is one doctor.
No.
At one treatment facility.
Wrong.
To try it.
Wrong. If one doctor at one facility tries it and says anything, he will be censored and he will be called a white nationalist. Patrick, have you looked at the internet at all? There's plenty of people out there who have experimented with fasting. The information I've given you is completely backed up by research. All it takes is one doctor at one facility to try it. No, that's not all it takes. This weird fantasy that a bunch of right-wingers and libertarians have that, well, if just one person tried, and then another, and then they tell another person, and they tell a person, and so that's not how it works anymore, because everybody exchanges their information through the internet, and the internet is censored. And you still have to overcome stupidity, and you still have to overcome that's the way we've always done it, and you still have to overcome government propaganda. I can tell people till I blew in the face that fasting for 48 hours before your chemotherapy will fucking increase the effectiveness of the chemotherapy on the cancer cells and make your healthy cells safer from the chemotherapy and recover faster. I could say that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And the percentage of people in the population who will take me seriously and look into it any farther is fucking infinitesimally small. So no, it doesn't just take one person at one clinic to fucking do something.
And then for that hospital to see the numbers change.
No.
For
the hospital to see the numbers change. The hospital doesn't look at the numbers. They look at the money. They look at, did we get sued for malpractice yet?
Hospital to gain a 5% market advantage over every other hospital that treats cancer. And they instantly have a massive...
How does a hospital get a 5% market advantage? There's no advertising allowed. Doctors and hospitals can't advertise how many of their cancer patients had their cancer cured. The government, the regulations, prevent hospitals from announcing, hey, our cancer treatments are more effective than other people's cancer treatments. Because they can't advertise.
Marketing campaign that they can run.
They can't,
showing that they
can't run a marketing campaign.
Can cure cancer better than anyone else.
Okay, they can't do
that.
Don't
forget, you're not just competing with the hospitals in your state or with the hospitals in your country, even.
Yes, you are.
You're competing with the entire world.
No, you're not. Because the average person who has cancer cannot afford to go get their cancer treated literally any place on the planet Earth. They're going to go to the hospital that's the closest to them. Because if you have cancer, it's going to cost a fuck ton of money to treat it, and it's going to immediately start depleting your resources. So unless you're Bill Gates, you're getting your cancer treated at whatever hospital is closest to you. So no, the hospitals are not competing against all the other hospitals on the planet Earth.
Because when you have serious cancer, you'll look wherever. You'll look on the moon if you need to.
But you know what you won't do? You won't stop eating food for 48 hours before your chemotherapy treatment. Even the oncologists say this. That's why they don't tell their patients, because their patients say it's too difficult to go 2 days without food, because they would rather die sooner than not eat food for 2 days. So when you have cancer, you'll look on the moon. No, you won't. You won't. When you have cancer, you will continue fucking stuffing your face with bread, and you'll keep smoking cigarettes, and you'll just sit around fucking getting all these useless-ass treatments that are paid for by healthcare insurance, which I subsidize. You're welcome.
Find the best treatment.
No.
Because it's life or death.
No, no one does that.
So you're competing with
no one does
countries
that.
And hospitals and medical systems that...
Nobody, no, almost nobody. I can't say, I said no one. That's not true. 999 out of 1,000 do no independent research to try to figure out the best treatment for their cancer. They go to the doctor they always go to. The doctor sends them to the hospital that pays him to refer patients. They go in there. They get an oncologist. The oncologist looks at them. The oncologist tells them what to do, and they do it. That's the process. Because just like a doctor has shit to do, this person with cancer also has shit to do. They might have a job. They might have a family. They might have hobbies. They're not up until 3 o'clock in the morning researching cancer treatments. In fact, hold on, Google. Fasting and chemotherapy results. Hey, here we go. They demonstrated that fasting is safe and it is well tolerated during chemotherapy. Particularly, they demonstrated that fasting might reduce fatigue and improve quality of life, especially in the first 8 days after chemotherapy. I mean, right here, the effects of fasting and ketogenic diets. Here's a whole bunch of stuff about fasting and cancer. Comes right up in Google. How many oncologists are telling their patients about fasting? How many patients are going there saying, hey, doc, I read this thing on the internet about fasting. Should I try this? Because the amount of work I just did right there, typing fasting and chemotherapy results into Google, that is more work than literally Hitler, 999 out of 1,000 people with cancer are willing to do to make their own lives suck less. Because number one, they're stupid. And number two, well, that's the way we've always done it.
Are in a totally different regulatory environment, and they don't really care if, let's just say ostensibly, you know, this medical establishment that's in the Western countries. You're competing with the establishments in these third world countries.
No,
that
you're
don't
not.
Care about your cartels.
You're not.
All this is to say that all the same arguments that people use when people say things like, anarcho-capitalism will do nothing but promote monopolies. All of the arguments that you use for disproving those types of claims work in the same way, too, in pharmaceuticals.
No. No. And here's the other problem. We're not in Ancapidice. Arguments that work against monopolies in Ancapidice, I know what they are. I've made them myself. And at the point, you can't have corporations and monopolies in Ancapidice because there's no government to enforce them. We don't live in Ancapidice. We live in a state of society. arguments for why monopolies don't work in Ancapidice have nothing to do with pharmaceutical corporations in a statist system where patents and corporations exist and are enforced by the government. Those two things have absolutely nothing to do with each other. So when he says that the same arguments work for the one as work for the other, I have no idea what he's talking about. It's that what he just said is literally Hitler impossible.
They could add it as an add-on product for their existing treatments. To provide.
Yeah, you could charge people money to not eat food before their chemotherapy. Sure. We'll get to that in a minute.
Market advantage against their competitors. They could incorporate it, refine it, improve it, sell it as their own product with their own, you know, vitamin C, Pfizer vitamin C brand, thereby using their stupid patent to make just as much money as the other treatments. Anyway.
Again, the problem with that, even if you're going to add the vitamin C to your existing thing, you've still got to spend all the money to do this and convince people of it and all this other shit. That's not entirely an invalid argument. But again, when you look at something that's not a made-up example, and I'm not ripping him for making up an example. You have to make up an example if you're going to talk about something like this. But something real, like fasting, how are you going to improve fasting and sell it as a product? Yeah, like I said, you can definitely turn it into a pill and claim your pill does the same thing as fasting. I predict that at some point that will probably happen.
Hopefully I did a good enough job describing why that's an issue.
You didn't.
That argument is...
And I'm not even trying to insult you. You didn't. There was really no argument presented here. You provided no evidence whatsoever to support your claim.
Poor one. And if I didn't, let me know in the comments and I'll try again.
Yeah, you did not.
But I just want people to kind of slow down a little bit. We all have a lot of justified distrust in the big pharma after what happened with COVID. But some of these arguments are still just bullshit. They're really poor quality arguments.
And again, the reason is because your argument is that this is a conspiracy by people who only want to make money. And I'll agree, that is a bad argument. It's not a conspiracy. You can see it. You can look out your window. It's everywhere, okay? And it's not just making money. Do I need to repeat myself again about avoiding lawsuits, about obeying regulations, about HR department? It's not a fucking conspiracy, and it's not entirely about making money. There's a whole slew of factors, probably a bunch of which I haven't even thought of, that factor into why this is happening.
Don't stand up if you really think about how this stuff works, how these businesses, how any business operates. Even adding in the improper collusion that is government patents. All right, that's all I wanted to say. Use that argument less. It's a bad one.
Yes, and like I said, his argument that it's only about making money is a bad one. Let me look at my notes here and see if there's anything I got to cover. I think I hit everything that I got on my notage. Now, another component of his argument is that, so even like if vitamin C worked, why wouldn't the corporations, you know, take this and do something with it and charge a bunch of money and make a profit off of it? And I think I've already pointed out my arguments against that are because, number one, you got to change what you're doing. Number two, you risk being sued for lying to people, all this yada, yada, yada. However, I mean, he is right that as something becomes accepted in mainstream, it is going to get monetized. For example, look at the Manosphere. Remember when the Manosphere was just a bunch of people on the internet talking about chicks and trying to figure out why everything had gone to shit? Now it's a bunch of goddamn grifters making money. Okay, so you got fasting. Well, great one. Great one. You're right. Well, how would people make money off fasting? Nobody would possibly do fasting because you can't make any money off of fasting. Well, guys, let me tell you something. The grifters can make money on anything. And we're not even talking about the guy who owns the company where he sells vegan food that simulates fasting, because eating vegan food is the same as not eating, which is hilarious when vegans tell me they're healthy. Okay, but so here we go. And links to all this will be in the show notes because I'm not a member of the Manosphere. All right, so fasting research, doctors of Auxilia, blah, 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 conducted ongoing research, clinical conditions, high blood pressure, diabetes. Our 12-year study completed in conjunction with Cornell University, published scientific peer-reviewed and indexed Journal of Manipulative and Psychological Therapies. This paper, entitled Medically Supervised Water-Only Fasting in the Treatment of Hypertension, detailed the outstanding results in the treatment of 174 consecutive program participants presented with high blood pressure. It's got a link to the study, our study, blah, blah. Second study, evaluating effectiveness of fasting, treatment of borderline high blood pressure, publication, Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, read, blah, blah, blah. So there you go, guys. All you do is not eat food. Hypertension, high blood pressure, right? This is a fasting clinic. It's a clinic, guys. It's a clinic where you don't eat food. The daily rates range from $159 to $599 a day to not eat food. The daily rates include all of your meals. Okay, let's start right here. If you're fasting, if you're engaged in water-only fasting, right, that is what it says, right? Let me go back. Let me look. Am I remembering wrong? I mean, there's a fasting as a this paper. Water-only fasting. Right here it says, water-only fasting in the treatment of hypertension. Water-only. So the price includes all of your meals. What meals? You're fasting. The only meal you will have is water. Your daily rate includes all meals, fasting supervision, if applicable. You need supervision. Like a child, you need super. This is for the women. You need supervision to not shove donuts into your face. Participation in our health education program, otherwise known as typing things into Google, reading the results, and checking out books from the library. Access to our fitness classes. Guys, if you're doing fitness classes, you already have a gym membership. You don't need theirs. Staff support. You're going to get support from their staff. You can get support at home. So let's go over this. All your water, all your meals, you can get water at your house. Fasting supervision, you can supervise yourself. Participation in our health education program. If you have a computer and access to a library and the internet, you can do that at your house. Access to our fitness classes. If you don't have a gym membership now, you're not going to go to the gym there. Okay? Staff support. Your friends can support you at your house. Daily rate includes bedding, towels, and personal laundry service. You have a bed at home, you have towels at home, you have a washer and dryer at home, or else you have a laundromat that you already go to. Desk and chair. I am not making this up. Desk and chair. You're paying a fasting clinic $600 a day so they can provide you with a desk and a chair. Private phone service and personal voicemail. Because there's any person on the North American continent that doesn't have a cell phone. free. It's free, guys. Free local and long distance calling within the USA. I'm not making this up. High speed internet access through Wi-Fi. Because you wouldn't have that at home. And finally, free parking. For $600 a day, you get free parking. If you have a car and you have a house or an apartment or any place that you live, you probably already have a place to park your car. So here we go. This place is making up to $600 a day off of people not eating food. The grifters have already showed up. Like, no matter what you do, the fucking manosphere, the red pillosphere, the encaposphere, you know, whatever sphere you've got going on, the fasting sphere, the vitamin D sphere, whatever sphere it is, the grifters are gonna fucking show up.